ministering unto the building of the body of Christ, till we all attain unto the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and craftiness after their rules of error, but speaking in truth we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, even Christ. In my heart has been a long time that we must know that we are one body, one Jew, one Gentile, one body in Christ. And we must grow up into the maturity of Christ. And when you grow up into the maturity of Christ, you see the funny games that is played below you. And really, it's games. And you don't have to keep your eyes on those games any longer. And you look at the eye of the Lord. And he's taught me so much in Israel. And that's what I'm here to share. Okay. When planning this whole trip, people kept on saying to me, wow, you know, you're really brave. You're just going to Israel, just you and your daughter, you're really brave. And I looked at them strangely and said, what am I brave about? I mean, everybody travels. I mean, what's so brave? And they said, how are you going? I said, no, we're going on our own plan. They said, no, that's incredible. Where are you going? I said, no, we're going all over. And they really looked at me strange and said, wow, you're so brave. And I decided then and there, I was actually not going to take a tour bus. I'm not going to sit on a bus and somebody tour me around and I take photos of a place and quick little photos. I want to get the feel of the land. I want to walk where Jesus actually walked. And God gave me a promise. He said, I was given this gift, but I didn't have all of it. And I thought, how am I going to get the rest? And nothing was coming through. And God gave me a promise. He says, you're going to go on a wing and a prayer. But I'm going to set you people in front of you with divine appointments. And I thought, okay, all right, I'm going to go on a wing and a prayer. Went to tea with Rishka. I said, I'm getting nervous. She said, don't forget the wing and the prayer. And I said, I'm actually going to go and do it my way. I'm actually quite a stubborn person. Ask the elders, they know, they've gone to hell. But in any case, I always like to do it my way. And so I met with Philippa Briggs, and she said, come for coffee. I'm going to show you where to go. I said, oh, brilliant. Now, before I started, I had this little map given to me. That's a little map. I hope you can all see it. And I said, oh, well, that's Israel. That's easy to tour. Yeah, that's how I looked at it. Yeah. Oh, even now we'll go there, we'll go there, we go there. And then Philippa sat down at Mug and Bean. And she opened this massive map, and everything looked different. I said, what is this? She says, no, this is Israel. So my little map and her map didn't match up. So then my eyes got big, and I got a bit nervous. And I said, okay, well, what's this from here to here? She says, no, it takes about an hour from the airport to Jerusalem. I looked at this, and it looked like 10 minutes. No. And it takes from here to Nazareth, it takes from like nearly here to Joburg, a day. So my whole perspective was suddenly, God just took me out of my box. I had neatly arranged this awesome box, and he took me out of it. But in any case, I calmed down. And then what happened was there was going to be a war in Syria. Well, it started happening. And my husband was looking at the news, and he just woke up every morning in absolute fear. And every morning he says, look what's happening, look what's happening, look what's happening. And so I'm not looking what's happening. I'm not looking. God gave this to me. God gave this. This was my desire in my heart. When I was a child, he woke it up 3 years ago. He gave me the desire. He showed me where I was going. And it's not going to be taken away from me from a war from Syria. It's not. This is my dream. This is my desire. And he carried on. And I had to get into the word, the promises, for about a week. I had to, when they left, I got into the word and the promises over my life again and again. The promises, because this is mine, this is mine. And the world was saying, it's not yours. There's going to be a war. And then one day my husband woke up and he says, tell me about your trip. I'm so excited that you're going. And the whole atmosphere changed. And I knew then that I could go in peace because he was happy. I'm going to take this off. It's very hot. I just bought it. I wanted to show you. It's beautiful. Yeah. Okay. Then, so what I'm going to do now is, what I'm saying to you is when you have a dream, you have things come against your dreams. And you have a fight. But you've got to stand in that word. You've got to make an effort. You've got to make an effort and get into the word and go over your promises. Go over your promises. That seed that's in you is incorruptible. See, it cannot be taken away from you. That's the promises. But God can give you a promise, and if you don't do it, he will give that promise to somebody else. It's not always, that prophecy doesn't have to stay with you. It can go to somebody else. So I said, no, this is mine, and I'm going. So Aaron and I, we went, and we landed in Israel in Yom Kippur. It's a very religious holiday. It's a day of atonement. And so we landed at long travel. We landed early in the morning. We quickly got into our unit. We had a bath, shower. We got dressed, and off we went, because everything, no buses, no cars. It's a very religious holiday. There's a big notice at the hostel. They said to you, please don't eat because they're in fasting. Don't talk to the rabbis. You know, you mustn't talk to them. It's a big notice. You have to read it before you go out. So, okay, I've been warned about this. Don't talk to the rabbis. So, okay, off we go. And off we go. And I realized that I booked into a beautiful place called Heart Davidka, the Heart of David. And this whole trip, it's a long story, I can't go into it, but David showed me I'm going on this trip. And it was, so I stayed in the Heart of David Square. And we worked out that we actually were right by the Jaffa Gate. It was a long walk, but we were by the Jaffa Gate. And we were right by the market. So we could do everything with our transport. So off we go to the Old City. Now the Old City is absolutely beautiful. It's got... the main gate you walk into there, where we were, okay, it's got the Jaffa Gate. You walk into the Jaffa Gate, and it's broken up into four quarters. It's got the Menian Quarter, Christian Quarter, the Muslim Quarter, and the Jewish Quarter. Now, they all live in the Old City, and they all live next to each other. So I go down that little road, and then I go into the Menian Quarters. I go along, and I'm in the Muslim Quarters. And I go up, and then I'm in the Jewish quarters, and I go further up, and I'm in the Christian quarters. It's a long walk, but I mean, they're all close to each other. So it's absolutely amazing how they have to live. And there we're going off to Erin and I. Your little heart says, like, let's go to the Wailing Wall. So off we go to the Wailing Wall. When the Wailing, you go to the Wailing Wall, you've got to wear your shoulders covered and your knees covered and a scarf on your head, and you go through very high security. So, this is the day of Yom Kippur, and all the rabbis are off to the Wailing Wall. So we're trying to not look at them, you know. And off we go to the Wailing Wall. And it's divided by the women and the men, but only by a short wall. I mean, you could look over and see. And you go in this massive wall, and you cover your head with a scarf. You respect and honor the religion. You cover your head with a scarf and you go up to the wall, and it's the most incredible presence of God. The whole day they've been just saying Jehovah, and they break it up in the Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, and they just sing it in harmony the whole day, and it's Jehovah, 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 and it's incredible. I just saw the blood of Jesus just pouring down that wall, and it's incredible presence of God. And when you leave, so this is the wall. When you leave the wall, you must leave backwards. Because if you turn around, it's turning your back to God. So that you honor them and you walk out. It's a long distance from there right through. You know? But you don't want to go and pray and then turn your back to God. I mean, you just don't want to do it. This is what they do. That is the wall, and don't turn your back to God. So that was our little morning, and then we went off and we decided to ask a few questions. People ask a few questions, and we got to this one guy and we said, oh, where's, you know, the ladies? And he said, come, I'll show you. He said, oh, they're so friendly. And it was just a worker guy there. He said, I'll show you. And next minute he says, give me 100 shekels. He's waiting for me to come out the toilet. 100 shekels is 300 rand. I said, no, I don't carry money. And he started screaming. And we had a lot of this experience on the first day of people just screaming at you. They just, if they're kind to you, they want something. If you don't give, if you don't pay them, they scream at you. Okay? So we decided, okay, well, let's go, relax. Next day we go on a tour and we think, okay, we don't ask anybody anything. We make our own way. So Erin and I are going off and we're going back to the Wailing Wall because everything's closed now. Shabbat now. It's Saturday. So Yom Kippur and Shabbat all in one. It's heavy. And we're going in to the Wailing Wall and there's this lovely Spanish girl walking on her own. She says, do you know where I can get to the Wailing Wall and the City of David? Yeah, of course. Come, I'll help you. I mean, I've only been there half a day. Yeah, of course. Come, I'll help you. I said, let's go to the Zion Gate, which I saw yesterday. I said, let's go there. We'll stop there and I'll show you. I'll get the map out and I'll show you exactly where to go. She said, oh, fantastic. In any case, it worked out that it was such an encounter from God. She told me that Heidi Baker is going to be there that night. She told me that guys from Bethel are going to be there. They're just across the road from where I was staying. And she's meeting up with them. She lives in Spain. She's got a bed and breakfast. But the guy she met the day before had told her, this is where she goes to for the conference. And so it's like, wow, this is awesome. This is so fantastic. This is really divine appointment. So I get to the wall and I open up everything. And this guy runs to me and I'm cautious now, okay? I've had a half a day of abuse. So my eyes are wide awake. And he kind of says, you've been here before, you've been here before. So I said, no. He says, yes, I've seen you at the Wailing Wall. You've been here before. So I said, okay, now what does this guy want? Now what's my money? Funny, what's going on? I said, no, I haven't been here. He says, yes. He says, because when I saw you, God told me, when I see you, I tell you all the free tours. I don't take a cent from you, and I take you on tours all free. Yeah. So Erin, now this Spanish girl with me, she says, oh, I'm staying with you. So I said, oh, okay. So we go through, and we didn't know where to go. He shows me, we go to the Tomb of David, we go to the upper room. Tomb of David is separated between men and women. And it was an incredible experience for me at the Tomb of David. It was incredible. And then he comes out and he says, okay, now you must go to, don't forget, all of these gates have got a meaning. And they've all got a meaning to me. He says, okay, now you've got to go through the Dung Gate. And it's actually quite relevant because the Dung Gate is a gate where you have to walk from the Lion's Gate up to the Dung Gate, and Jewish people had to walk right up to the Dung Gate to throw their sins, all their rubbish, over the wall, okay, over the Dung Gate. They had to get rid of their sins. And through the Dung Gate, you go through, and there's a church, but under the church is a prison where they took Jesus, they tied him up, and they scourged him, they beat him. That's the place where he was beaten. And it was, you know, all the sins. It was right by the Dung Gate. And Erin and I went down. And you actually, there's a big glass window. But we went around. And there's all the prisoners. It was Peter, it's John. It's all enclosed. They take you. And what happens is that you actually see the blood all over the stones. It's actually encased. Erin was just going, it's just incredible. The guy was just telling us, it was absolutely amazing. It was an incredible experience. And then he says, now, you've got to realize that where they took Jesus in to be a prisoner, it's nothing like our prisons. Okay, it was a big wall, and they dug out the wall, and it's all rocky, it's all damp, and it's at the bottom of the hill. So therefore, what goes to the bottom of the hill? All the sewer. So all the sewer from the places ran down through where they were in prison. So they stood in the sewer. Okay? And it's, now they've got lights and everything for us. They can't take us in the dark. We'll fall down holes. So they've got all the lights up, but you've got to be realistic and see where Jesus stood and where Peter was locked up. And it's cold. It's damp, it's smelly, it's very rocky, but it's very narrow. So it's like very claustrophobic. So it's like, you know, you know when you dig out a hole in the mountain and you carry on digging. So you go in the hole and you carry on and it's going through a tunnel, all right? And then there's a little gap here, which is dark, and that's where the one prison was. And you carry on through the tunnel and then they put another prison. Now they've opened it all up so we can see it, but it's not open. It wasn't open in those days. So it was dark, cold, smelly, and they took Jesus for the night, and that's when they beat him up, and it's very hard to explain. But what Peter went through, because that was a prison Peter was in, to think that Peter can praise Jesus, that the gates can open in a situation like that, I think it's time for us to be mature. I really do. I know we think we've got the world on our shoulders. I know we all go through things. I'm not being light of what we go through. Okay, I've gone through a lot too. I'm not being light. But I'm just thinking, he must have walked in such a realm, in another dimension, to stand there and worship Jesus like that, that he wasn't even in that cave bodily. He must have been lifted up and actually in another dimension. And that's what God is saying to us. Guys, it's really time to face me in these times now. And get out of your dimension that you're sitting in and go into another dimension that I've made already for you. I've planned it for you. There's a purpose for you to go there. And you will see that the things of the world will be meaningless. Really, I promise you. Okay. Don't forget the Day of Atonement. They're very religious and there's a lot of sacrifice and a lot of work. We don't have to do all that, guys. You know, I walked around and we were free. We were absolutely free. But it's my heart also to see that they get free. And the woman there get free. The woman are so segregated. It's my heart that I go and we set the woman free there, that they know the grace and the goodness of God. There's many different cultures there, and God just opens up your borders with so many different cultures. I mean, in the hostel ourselves, one day I'm sitting to Chinese people, next to American people, and these are people all coming to see Jerusalem, and it's such an honor to sit with so many people hungry for his land, because no matter what, that is the apple of his eye. I promise you, you just know it. When you walk there, you know that God has got his eye on that place. They live in peace. The people live in harmony. They honor families. They honor their children. They look after their children extremely well. When they have the day off, they all go as a family, and they all go, everybody, they all go together, and they go to parks, and they go to the Wailing Wall, and they go to the old city, and they walk around, and they all join in together. They don't sit in individual houses doing individual things. It's a community of strength, a community of faith, a community of hope, a community of love, a community of honor, and a community of respect. When you walk around and you watch them carefully, because we had 3 days, 4 days walking around, they're just watching. And you walk around and you watch them carefully, and they honor and respect each other. They don't understand our culture. And the one rabbi came to me and said, don't get offended. Don't take offense in this land when they say something that it's only because they do not understand you. And straight away, I wiped off that offense of them being rude. Straight away. Because I thought, oh, but they don't understand us. And you've got to understand, it's their culture, but they've got a lot of love. And they live in peace. There's a war, I promise you, down the road. There's a war down the road. They don't look at that. It does not affect their life. That we go to the one guy on the bus, and I organized a hop-on, hop-off bus that take you places. You hop on, you hop off, you do your own thing. And the bus driver started teaching us the Jewish words and put on the song called The Hebrew Man. Brilliant song. It was absolutely, I was blown away by it. Brilliant man, the song. And he was just, when he was speaking, he only speaks life. Everything he says, they are grateful for absolutely everything in their life. It's very expensive there. It's hard living there. It's not easy. They do not have an easy life. They have to look above. We have to look next to us. So we've got different things going on. They have to look for rockets. We have to look for theft. Okay? So we've got, all the countries have got things going on. Yeah. We've got to look for people. We walk. I mean, they said, leave your stuff here and go and swim. I was like swimming backwards, you know? My stuff. I mean, I couldn't get used to it for a while. But all countries have got their own problems. Everything. Some America, they've got storms, hurricanes, tornadoes. We've got things. Everywhere's got a problem. So wherever you go, you're going to meet up with some problem. But you've got to live in a dimension that it doesn't worry you. Because God is good. They walk around and all they talk about is God is good. They've got a cap on their head. God is above them. The consciousness is here. So they've got twills going down here to say, I'm always conscious of God. They've got a beard, so when they talk, whatever they say must be good because it bounces back to you. So they're conscious about every word that they speak all the time. They don't slip up. Yeah? They're going to slip up. They don't slip up. They speak life over you. When they talk to you, they speak life. I was told that when I'm going there, my DNA will change into harmony. Because people are going to speak so much life. And I believe that God just ripped my heart. And I believe that I've got completely changed to unity and harmony in my DNA. Because God has just ripped my heart. I was in the bus, and everyone zones out in the bus, so I can do my own thing. And I'm sitting quietly there, and God just snatched me up. And he took me, and he said, this is what I want to show you. This is what I want to show you. This is what I've got for the nations. I've got, this is my nation. This world is mine. And live in unity. There's no such thing, Michelle, as denomination. You have your Greek and your Armenian and your Catholic and your this and your this. He said, you're going to see it all. But they mean nothing to me. I didn't create them. But they're still my people. I want this world as one church. One church, one body, one Christ. And that's all we are. We can't look at another church and say, hey, that church. We're not, we're one in Christ. You know, we're not different. We're not separated. We're not little, God is not made in his spirit. He's not made in little blocks. Open the door and we're going to go to the Catholic Church now. Hello. You know, we're not. Okay, we're one. Okay. Are you okay here? Sure. Okay, so there we go off in the bus. And now we're going coastal. And we stop off at Caesarea, Caesar's palace. And he was very wealthy. He's very rich. And he's got a beautiful place. Incredible. And then I can't go into every place. It's all... That's fine. It's just history. Lucky for us, we're really blessed because you get crowds of tour people. So I walked next to this tour lady with a mic and I listened to what I wanted to listen to, enough history. And then we moved on and we did our own thing. You know, if you take just too much history, then it goes over your head. You know, and I knew, Peter said to me, go there, see the sites, and when you come back and you study, it will all come to you. Don't try and study whilst you're there. You know, just look at it, feel the land, feel the people. Rather get into that than walking with the tour and just saying, this is this, and they just hit you with heavy history. And then on the third day, you don't even know which cathedral you're in, you know. So we just went to the important places, went to Nazareth. It's 85% Muslim now. I didn't take Aaron out at night because I don't go out at night in any case, and there's nothing to do at night. They just have bars and clubs, and we're not into that. So we had full days, and at night we just chilled, we just chatted, and we went over the things we saw. But at night I stepped out this little had this little bed and breakfast, a little door in the wall. You open the door, and I stepped out. As I stepped out, this Muslim like spat on the floor, so I stepped back and I slammed the door. I'm not going out there. This is like really strange. And but we're chuffed. We went to the church there, and we went to Cana, where Jesus did his first miracle, changed water into wine. We walked around there. This was lovely. And as we had finished having breakfast, I said to the guy, oh, you know what? I didn't organize anything to see the Sea of Galilee. And I said, do you do anything? No, you've got to stay here, and then I'll do the Sea of Galilee. And we get in the bus, and he says, you know what? I just want to tell you, it's in my heart now. I want to go to the Sea of Galilee. I want to take this lady and a child to the Sea of Galilee. Will you, everybody, would you agree that we can go swim there? And everybody said, yes, yes. So he changed the tour for us, and we went to the Sea of Galilee. Yeah, so we stopped at places, and then the bus driver just changed it that I hadn't even put on my itinerary. And he says, let's just go here. Let's just go into Jericho. Let's just go here. Let's go and take you in the, you can go on the camel. We just, crazy things happened. Crazy things. I mean, my eyes were just open. How good God is all the time. He loves your heart. He looks at your heart and he says, this is your desire. I give it to you. This is your desire. I give it to you. This is your desire. I give it to you. And that's what God is like. He just wants to like see your happy face. He wants to see how grateful you are. And he wants to see you, you know, like you give your child something and they got a toy for Christmas. And you can't wait for them to open their Christmas presents. That's how Papa is with you all day. He just says, what are you going to do? How are you going to react with this present? How are you going to react with that present? How are you going to react with this, what I'm giving you? Yeah. And really, guys, you've got to learn to have a grateful heart for the small. And he's going to open up the big. It really is. God gripped my heart. I mean, I was just, when he took me up and he just gripped my heart. I promise you, I'm a new creation. I've got a new heart. Long ago, thank goodness for Jesus. But he gripped my heart. And he's just gripped it so much. It's incredible. And it's just, I can't stop thanking him for absolutely everything. You realize that you wake up, you can wake up in the day. You got a sun rising. You live in a good area. You got good water. You've got and the things that you haven't got, don't look at them. They will come to pass. Now, don't dream about the things that you haven't got because I won't get into there. I guess it's up to you. Finished. Okay, nearly finished. No. In any case, the Jewish people are incredible, and when you go to the market, you've got to be very careful because they don't line up, and like we do, we're very well mannered here. We line up, we wait our turn. So even I was at the market, and these people kept on pushing in and saying, 10 shekels, 5 shekels. I was here, you know. Da, 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 hello, hello. Then Aaron said, speak up, Ma. And I said, what's going on? And the lady says, listen, the first one who shouts the loudest gets served. There's no order. The first one that gets on the tram gets a tram. The first one off is off. If you're not off, then you just have to get the tram back. I held onto my child like mad. Because you get pushed, and the men, they have about 7 or 8 kids each. Kids, eh? They love their kids. The men push the prams, and the men help them, the mothers a lot, a hell of a lot. But when the men push the prams, watch it, they don't care about your legs. They push the prams. I want to tell you this because I had an incredible encounter with God. We went to an area called Safed. And Safed is a very just Jewish mystical place. And it's a mysticism of God. And a lot of Judaism, they don't like it. And the Christian Jews, they just love it. And we were walking around, and it was a Sukkot, day of Sukkot. So a lot of things were closed, and everybody's walking around, and they're just looking at the candles and things like that. And God said to me, go to the Kabbalah. And every now and then I say, where's the Kabbalah? Where's the Kabbalah? It's a synagogue. Okay? And in any case, So we're asking around. I said, where's the Kabbalah? And everybody's just interested in shopping. And we went. Aaron was like pushing me. Find it, Ma. Find it, find it. So we walked there. And you're not allowed in there. It's a Jewish synagogue. And you're not allowed just to walk in there. I think I've got a picture of some of the one. So I walked in. The guy came and he said, it's Sukkot. It's a day of, like a gift. They give like to the poor. But they give. It's good, and they give. And they said, come. You can come. Because it's a day of Sukkot. So you're allowed in. And it was such an honor because I walked in and there was the Holy Ark. And the Holy Ark was made out of a green olive tree. And it's got a crazy meaning. And I turned around and there was this big board with all Jewish writing. And Holy Spirit said, take a photograph of it. So I took a photograph and I said, what is this? And then the rabbi came to me. And he said, do you know what this is? I said, no, I don't. And he was talking to me. I was so chuffed. It's like the third rabbi was speaking to me. And he said, this word is Adonijah. But in the Kabbalah, what Adonijah means, it says that one day people will walk with Jesus in this land and they will see Jesus and others will not see them. And Jesus will tell them exactly the heart of everybody they meet. And you will sit, he says, you will sit in places sitting with Jesus. And other people will not see that you're walking with Jesus. And you'll walk all over and you'll have only eyes for God. And people will think you're crazy because you're talking to yourself. But you're not, you're actually talking to Jesus. And it hit my heart because that's a word that God gave me 3 years ago. And I had a rabbi confirming it. And he said, the word is Adonijah, but it says, I see God clearly. It was absolutely awesome. And I think that's it there. Yeah, that's it there. At the top is Adonijah. And the olive tree, it means a tree of oil. And it's a primitive root means to shine, and it's got riches, it's got anointing, it's got fat, it's fruitful, it's ointment. And the Jewish word is shemesh, and it's to be brilliant. And it's to shine brilliantly. And my heart has been crying, Lord, I want your wisdom. That's all, I want your wisdom. And when I saw that olive tree, and I looked and I said, this is such an honor to come into a place like this, because you said to me, I'll see you, I'll walk with you, you'll tell me the heart of the people. And I want your wisdom. I can only get it by looking at Jesus and listening to what he's got to say to me for the heart for the nations. That is my desire, is to go and show the nations that it's very easy to walk and talk to Jesus. Very easy. That is just what he wants you to do daily. Just walk in dimension after dimension of glory. Do not limit God to one dimension of praise. There is so many different dimensions. There's so many gateways. There's so many doorways. Every hour of the day is a different doorway to enter into God. Every single hour. There's 24 hours. There's 24 elders. It all matches up. You've got to understand the word, but you don't have to understand the word to walk with Jesus. But it's just nice to understand the word to see where you're going and what you're doing. That all matches up to the word. It just gives you a hunger to when he tells you something, you get a hunger to look it up. And that's a mystery and the secrets of God, that he says to you, look for my secrets. I don't just tell you them. Look for them. And when you see them, I will tell it to you. He doesn't hide them far. It's like hiding an Easter egg for a child. You don't dig it 6 foot under the ground. All right? You put a little bow on so the kid can see it. And their name on if you want. But you don't hide it from a baby. And that's what we are, his children. But he wants you to dig in. And he wants you to see. And he wants you to know that Jerusalem is the apple of his eye. And you can get so much out of that land. And I can't share all of it, but I just want to pray for you. An incredible time. We got baptized in the Jordan River. We've been baptized by Highway, but Aaron and I just wanted to be baptized together. You know, so you know, and Erin was baptized by James. I mean, it's all honored, but we just wanted to do it together as a mother and a child. You did? Did you? No, he wasn't there. No, we just baptized each other. Awesome experience. And that's awesome. I just want to pray for you. I pray that my experience of Israel will catch your heart. And God will bless you. And as a group of people, I hope that you just realize that there is a land of milk and honey out there. And soaking up the glory of God firsthand, seeing Jesus where he walked, it's an incredible experience. It is the apple of his eye. But I just want to pray that you realize that everywhere you go, God is pouring milk and honey over your lives, and he wants to capture your heart to know the goodness that he's got for you, his provision, his names mean something. Study the names of God and mean he's your healer, he's your provider, he's your accountant, he's your attorney, he's everything. God is everything to you. Get involved in his gifts. I know your word, but make some time. Find out the names of God. Speak them over your life. Speak with gratitude. Speak with love. Speak life. You guys got beards? Remember, it comes back to you, but you woman, it also, okay? You've got the chest that your words will bounce back to you. So realize that the glory of God, the word can never, never go void. Okay? It can never. And God's given you a prophetic word. Don't just leave it dangling. Because it's up to you to just get some hunger and go for it. It's up to you to step out and do it. And it's up to you to just make it happen. Because it could have been stopped. My finances were given, but not all of it. I was short 20,000. I had to find it. So I tell you now, things try and get in your way, but don't make it blind you. God will sort you out, especially you. He'll sort you out. Get mature in the word. Get mature in your life. Get order. Love. Respect. Honor. Love. But do it your way. Thank you. Father God, I just thank you right now that the people here will just have a heart for you, Lord, that a hunger, that it was unstoppable. Father God, I just thank you that you just wash their minds now with the blood of Jesus and open up their minds so the word that we said today, Lord, that will grab their heart and they will realize that the words that you've given them over their life has meaning and it cannot go void. You've got your heart on them. You've got your eye on them full time. Father God, we just thank you for your awesomeness, for your greatness, and your love for us is incredible. The sacrifice that you went in that time of carrying that cross right up to the top. Father God, if we just need to open our eyes and see what you've done already for us, and just let us live in a life of abundance now. Let us live in the mystery of your realm. Let us live in the glory that you've got set before us. Let us live in the land of milk and honey. Let us not look at the things that are not. Let us not look at the things that are. Let us look at the things that are not, that are coming. God, you've shown me so much that is coming. My spirit is jumping. It hasn't stopped jumping for weeks. I am so excited by the things that are coming. Let this hunger get into them, Lord. Let them know that the goodness of you is just going to flood this land. That it's going to be no more. The time is finished where the hardness is done. We're just going to look at your eyes, Lord, and you are our provider. You are our lover. You are everything to us, God. Absolutely everything. You've taken our heart. You've changed our heart. You've given us a new heart. We're just going to live in a land of gratefulness, thankfulness, respect, love, honor, giving, everything. All those fruits of the Spirit, Lord, let them bounce open in our lives. Let us just be trees laden with fruit, Lord. Let us just hang in the river. Let us just soak up your glory. Let us just sit there and soak, Lord, and then go out and just hand the fruit as the people pass us by. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Good word, Michelle. That was awesome. That was awesome. So if you guys want to come and have a look at the maps, Michelle will show you, right? I hope. And there are photos as well, so maybe Gary, you can run through those just while everyone goes for coffee and pizza. All right, so Peter is there. Next week, we continue our ladies series, Rhoda Marot. You guys know Dom and Rhoda, who lead worship. Rhoda is sharing next week, Sunday night. So it's going to be really cool. Come along, and that'll be our last of the ladies series. All right. Amen. Have a good week, guys. Bless you.